It is Bowerly on News Radio 930 WBEN in Lancaster. I want you to listen to a speech by Adrian Gummo, who blasted the Lancaster School Board in this epic speech. Her daughter was actually told to define gender on an assignment. She wrote that gender is what you are when you are born, male or female, and her teacher told her she was wrong. Now, that sounds a lot like indoctrination and not education. This speech has gone viral across the Libs of TikTok page, and let's listen. It's about 5 minutes long, and then we're going to talk with and take calls for Adrian, but I want you to hear this because every now and again, somebody makes a speech that people relate to and get behind, and of course, a minority of people will try to destroy her with all kinds of things that aren't true. But here is the speech before the Lancaster Central School.
My topic is controversial curriculum being taught that is not part of the mandated New York State standards, as well as administrators failing to respond in any way to parent concerns regarding this. I'm following the guidelines you've set forth. I'm not using any faculty names or which buildings my concerns are with. Therefore, I'm asking that you keep my microphone on for the entirety of my time at this podium, as it is my right to be allowed to speak and also my responsibility as a parent to stand up for what my children's well-being and best interest when it comes to their education. In sending our children to public school, my husband and I are aware that there will be situations that our children will encounter that may not align with our Christian conservative family values. We teach our children to be kind to everyone, including those of other races, religions, and sexual orientations. We teach them our personal values at home, and we send them to school with the expectation that they will learn the academics from their teachers. I've never come to speak at a board meeting. I did not speak last year when my daughter was barked at by members of the GSA club when she politely said no thank you to purchasing a pride sticker. I did not speak this year when her teacher put up a Christmas tree in the classroom and adorned it with pride flags, which some might consider desecration of a religious symbol. But something did happen recently that prompted me to come here tonight. One of my children was given an assignment where she was told to define gender. She wrote that gender is what you are when you're born, male or female. She's told she was wrong. Her teacher instructed her to change her answer to, gender is whatever you want to identify as. This goes beyond what I will allow in my children's education. It is not only our family's belief that God created us as male or female, but it's also human biology and scientific fact. Of course, people can change what they choose to identify as later in life, but you are born as one of two genders, and telling a child that this is incorrect is erroneous and abhorrent behavior for an educator. One could even argue that this biased definition of gender violates the First Amendment of the U.S. Constitution regarding freedom of religion. In looking further into this, I discovered that this topic is being taught under an umbrella of a suggested New York State guideline, not a mandated requirement, which is why you'll find that this is confirmed as not being taught in neighboring districts such as Iroquois, Clarence, and Williamsville. The teacher was not in any way understanding of my concerns, and as of 7 p.m. tonight, I have not yet received a response from any of the principals that I emailed last week. Communication is highly lacking in this district, and this must be addressed with the administrators. I'm a public school teacher. I have students of diverse cultures and different family orientations. I pride myself in making each child feel valued, equal, and loved. I teach them academics according to the mandated New York State standards. I can stand here tonight and tell you that not one of my students knows my religion, where I stand on the political spectrum, or my views on current events. And that's because as an educator, it is my job to teach children, but it is not my job to instill my views and my beliefs on them or on their families. If I were to bring a menorah into my classroom and adorn it with the Christian flag or a thin blue line police flag, I would surely be told that it must be removed, and I'm fairly certain that disciplinary action would be taken against me. Why is the same standard not put in place for Lancaster teachers when they choose to desecrate a Christmas tree in their classrooms by adorning it with a controversial political symbol? When my eldest child entered elementary school here in Lancaster, I sent a letter to the principal because I had a concern. Because of that one letter, I was then permanently labeled in the school's computer system as an HMP. If you're not aware what that means, it stands for High Maintenance Parent. I know this to be true because the following year we had a great rapport with my daughter's teacher. She told me, "I was so nervous to have your child in my class because you were labeled as an HMP. But your family is amazing and so kind. If being involved in my children's education and protecting them when I see them being discriminated against for their beliefs and values makes me high maintenance, then so be it. I proudly will wear those letters HMP on my sleeve as I stand up for what I believe is right." In conclusion, my hope is that not only have you listened to my words tonight, but that you will consider them and their importance. And then maybe we can come to a mutual understanding that there are ways to celebrate pride and show acceptance for the LGBT community without ostracizing a large percentage of your student population that may have different personal and religious values than you do. As a member of the board, not only do you have the power to make these changes, but you have the responsibility to ensure that all students feel accepted and recognized at Lancaster. Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. once said, "Our lives begin to end the day we become silent about things that matter." Well, our children matter, and we will not be silent any longer. Thank you.
That is an amazingly powerful speech, Churchillian, practically. And joining us, and it's viral, and I'm going to tell you that Adrienne Gemmo speaks, and Tanner, if you can bring her up, please, for a lot of parents and a lot of people out there listening to News Radio 930 WBEN. Adrienne Gemmo is with us right now on WBEN. Adrienne, you made that speech when?
I wrote it, you know, throughout the week as I was waiting to hear back from any of the principals. And each day that went by that I didn't get any response, I just kind of would go in and add a little bit more, you know, that I really felt needed to be said. Our board always encourages us at the meetings to, if we have an issue, take it to the teacher. If it can't be resolved there, to go to administration. And if it can't be resolved there, to go to the board. And so that's why I decided that I did need to go to the board with this.
And you delivered the remarks when?
On Monday night, on June 3rd, Monday night.
What was the immediate reaction after the board meeting?
There was none. They looked at me when I spoke. I did see at a couple points of my speech, I did see them pick up a pen and make some notes. But after that, there was no response to me. There was no email sent to me. Nobody has called me. Principals have not yet reached out and called me. Just absolutely zero response.
Your video has been seen, if I'm reading these metrics correctly, about 1 million times on X, correct?
Yes. I had no idea that it would go this big. I know that Lancaster live streams and puts on YouTube their board meetings. And I do participate in a Facebook page for Lancaster parents that really want to see a change in our schools and a change on the board. And so it was posted there. That's kind of where I thought that it would just kind of end. And I had no idea that, you know, it would get to the Twitter level, to the YouTube level. I had no idea that it would be featured on these shows today until I received text messages from people saying that it's on the radio. So, you know, if anything, you know, I'm shocked that it's getting so much attention, but I'm really hopeful that maybe this will be, you know, the what needs to happen for Lancaster to really start listening to the parents.
Well, you're a rock star right now amongst people who share your beliefs. And along with being a rock star with those who share your beliefs, I got off of social media because I found it to be an absolute toxic sewer, which did nothing to enhance my life. Have you had any threats or any, shall we say, personal ad hominem attacks against you by people on social media?
No, I haven't had any. I haven't received any, you know, threats or anything negative. Really, everything that I've been seeing is people I don't know, people I do know, calling me, messaging me, just praising, you know, thanking me for standing up for the kids, because it's really hard. A lot of people, you know, no matter what job you have, a lot of people are afraid to go to these meetings and speak for fear that, you know, their name will be out there and then they'll be labeled. That's a big problem in Lancaster is if you, you know, speak about, well, you know, this is my concern, then you're immediately labeled as, you know, you're homophobic, you're, you know, anything. And my family's anything but that. My family accepts everybody. It's just we don't feel that.
You made that very clear. Adrian, I want to keep you on for a long time, and I want to take phone calls for you.
Sure.
Are you able to do that? Because your speech, in 5 minutes, you summed up the concerns of so many people with whom I have spoken in recent years, and I'll emphasize that includes people who are homosexual men,
yeah,
lesbian, bisexual, and even one transgender person I had the pleasure of speaking with earlier this year. And we are joined by Adrian Gummo on News Radio 930 WBEN about the speech she delivered, basically saying, I'll summarize it, why are you indoctrinating our children, not educating our children in the LGBTQ agenda? And what did you tell your daughter? Now, you're a school teacher. May I ask what your area of specialty happens to be?
I teach younger children.
Okay, younger children. Fair enough.
Yeah, so I don't want to get
basically
specific. Sorry.
Okay, I'll just say younger children and leave it at that. What did you explain to your daughter about the question she answered, how she answered it, and what the teacher did to tell her she was wrong and how to respond?
Basically, my daughter came to me. She actually texted it to me from school and said, Mom, what do I do? This is what she's making me write. I told her that she does not have to complete the assignment and that if the teacher has any questions, to call me. My daughter she's a very good student. She gets very good grades and she's a teacher pleaser and, you know, wants to follow all the rules. So she did do the assignment and, she came home and I just explained to her, you know, I said, honey, we know at public school, there's going to be things that you see that your teachers teach you that we don't agree with. If you ever feel uncomfortable or you feel that it's something that you don't believe is right or that you don't feel comfortable answering, bring it to me and Dad, and we will handle it with your teacher. And so she was pretty understanding of that.
Well, what an amazing concept, the idea that you, as the parents of your daughter, should have greater leverage over the education and installation of values than a school teacher. What a concept.
Yes. Yeah. And that's really, you know, where this whole thing is stemming from is, you know, I'm understanding that, you know, in Lancaster, they are able or allowed to be teaching this because of this new document that was actually this goes all the way to Albany. And it really is an issue for anybody in New York State who has a child in public schools, that teachers are technically allowed to be teaching this because of this new guidelines document that New York State created a couple years ago. But the difference is there are required things under the New York State Education Department that health class teachers have to teach, and then there's suggested things that they can. And I'm really wondering if you're spending your time in your classroom teaching these things that are not required, what are you foregoing in the requirement that should be being taught? What are you using this time that you're foregoing that my daughter is now not learning that is a required mandate?
Yeah, China and India focus on math and calculus and engineering, and we're focused on apparently trying to convince little girls they're little boys and vice versa. Hold on, if you will, Adrian. I've got a lot of people who want to speak with you, who have questions for you. And what you did in your presentation before the Lancaster School Board obviously has caught fire on social media. And you put into words in a 5-minute presentation, I think, the frustrations, the anxiety, and the concerns of an awful lot of parents out there. And that does not mean, and you're going to be painted as a hater, a homophobe, and all of these things, which you absolutely are not. You have values, but going even beyond your Christian values, when you talk about science, we're always supposed to follow the science until it comes to gender, and then suddenly science ain't so scientific, nor is grammar. Hold on, if you would, Adrian, on WBEN. It is Bowerly, and thanks to Tanner Saunders, by the way. Great work lining up Adrian for us. All right, welcome, loves. It is Bowerly, WBEN, Arthur Pressman, traffic attorney. News time is 4:11. Good to have you with us, and we're talking about the situation in Lancaster. You know, many of us have a concern about this LGBTQ agenda being jammed down the throats of our younger children. Now, why grade school kids need to learn about being gay or lesbian or bisexual or trans or queer, I have no idea. India and China are teaching math and engineering, and we're basically saying, yeah, that's not important. What's really important is that you understand your gender journey. Parent and teacher Adrian Gummo gave a tremendous speech, which has like a million plus views, I believe, on X at this point, in which she called some of the policies regarding, I'm going to call it indoctrination, to focus at a recent, this week, Lancaster Board of Education meeting. And she's with us on News Radio 930 WBEN. And before we take some phone calls, Adrian, first of all, I know that you're a very busy lady with four kids and a career going on and lots of events in which you're no doubt taking place. The good news is fame is fleeting. The bad news is, as long as you're famous, I have to have you on the show and take up your time. But one of the things that I wanted to say before we go any further, I just want to reiterate, because when you work at WBEN, especially if you are yours truly, everything you say has the potential for being misinterpreted or cast in a light in which you do not intend it whatsoever. So once again, I just want to say loudly and clearly, consenting adults, see, you're a Christian, I'm a bit of a libertine, and consenting adults, in my opinion, should be able to do whatever they want to do with other consenting adults. And whether that is a man and a woman, whether it's lesbian, whether it is gay men, whether it is bisexual, whether it is transsexual, whether it is queer, I don't care. It's not my business. It's not my business. And before we take calls, Adrian, I don't know if you've had much of a response from people who are members of the homosexual or bisexual community. Mm-hmm. But, you know, conversations I've had, including one conversation with a transgender man turning to woman, they're not real big fans of children being taught this stuff themselves.
Yeah, some of them are my, you know, some of my best friends are in that community. And, you know, I, like, as you said, you know, I have no issue. You know, I believe everybody should be who they are and celebrate who they are. And that's wonderful. But I am also seeing that even members of the LGBTQ community are really appalled at, you know, seeing that how much, you know, this is being put into the public school system. And you know, they, even that community is saying, what is going on? Where, what happened to the learning? What happened to the academics? You know, why is so much being, you know, so much of our children's class time being spent on this? And, you know, at where my family accepts everybody and loves everybody, we are still, you know, we do have the right to have our own beliefs in our household. And it doesn't mean we discriminate against anybody. It just means that we should be, you know, my children who, you know, are in a conservative household, their rights should be just as important as, you know, anybody from any other group. So
And who can argue against equality? You quoted Dr. Right. Martin Luther King in your remarks to the Lancaster Board of Education. I don't know whatever happened to that idea that all men are created equal, all women are created equal, and just because you might happen to be a born-again Christian and you believe that your gender is determined by what you have on you or inside of you at birth, I don't think that that's an anti-scientific or a false statement right. at all. But I want to take some calls because you're the rock star. I am not. I want to go to Tracy on line one in Lancaster on WBEN. Tracy, welcome. You are on with Adrian Gummo. I'm sorry, Gummo or Gummo? I keep screwing it up.
No, that's okay. Everybody does. It's Gummo.
Gummo. Yeah. Gotcha. Roger yeah. that. Okay, Tracy, go ahead.
Yes. Hi. So I actually know Adrian, but I just wanted to call in and first of all commend Adrian because she saw a problem of what was happening in her child's school with her child's education, and she spoke up about it. And I feel it's important that everybody does this, whether you're a teacher that's upset with what is happening in your classroom and what you are being told to teach. Or if you're a parent and you're upset about what your children are being taught, everybody has their own threshold with what they're going to tolerate, and I understand that. I'm both a parent and a teacher. I actually taught in the public school system for 15 years, and during COVID, I refused to give my vaccination status. I refused to test weekly because I refused to give my district my medical information week after week after week. For me, that was my threshold. I understand other people, you know, may disagree with that, but my point in all of that is that everybody has a threshold, and I encourage everybody who has reached their level of tolerance and what they are willing to allow in their classroom or in their home needs to speak up, because I can guarantee Adrian was not the only parent that was upset with this test that was given, and I'd be willing to bet that there's other teachers that are out there that do not like the fact that this LGBTQ stuff is supposed to be appearing in their classroom. And unless more and more people speak up about this, then nothing is going to change. And whether you view Adrian as, you know, a hater, some may view her as a hero, you have to respect the fact that she spoke up about something that she believes in. And everybody needs to do that if they're at their threshold.
Thank you very, very much. Tracy, I'm going to phrase that into a question. What makes you so special? And I'm not being sarcastic or anything, but what makes you so special that you found the courage of your conviction and you strung those words together so masterfully and you did something that most people, it's their number one fear, public speaking. What makes you so special?
Was that for Tracy?
No, that's for you.
Oh, sorry. I thought Tracy was still on the line because Tracy is pretty special and she's a rock star, too. I'm not special in any way. I just there were so many things that happened throughout the years. You know, it took me, 10 years of being in this district of things that, you know, that I was seeing that I didn't like. And finally, you know, it was my threshold. It was the straw that broke the camel's back. If you're going to incorrectly teach something to my child, that is, it goes against human biology. You're born with your chromosomes, and that's that. And you know, this teacher that was teaching her, I understand that this teacher, this is her thing, this is her MO, this is what she loves, and this is what. But it really was just her pushing this on my family, and so I just felt that, you know, I'm going to try to do this eloquently. You know, I do have to be very careful because of my job as an educator. I'm going to try to get my point across to this board that does not listen to any parents. You know, and I also really had to step up for a lot of other parents because I do know a handful of parents that also emailed the principals about this assignment and were also never given a response. And so I kind of saw it as I'm not just up here speaking for my children. I'm up here speaking for many, many children in this district who are just flat out, being ignored. When they put these rules into place that you have to call ahead, you know, if you're sitting at a board meeting and you hear something that they say that you don't like, you can't just get up and go talk. in Lancaster. You have to call ahead and give your topic. And the previous week, my friend had a situation, and she called, and she said, I'd like to speak about this situation, and they told her no, that you're not allowed to speak. So they get to give you the go-ahead, or they get to tell you, no, you can't. And I just really think that that is just a violation of your right as a taxpayer and a community member.
Yeah, you're when paying the bills. Just shut up and pay the bills.
Yeah.
What I think a lot of people may have been very offended by, and I know it certainly resonated here, is the fact that you were labeled HMP, high maintenance parent. You know, a lot of the teachers I know in the city, they wish they had high maintenance parents. They wish they had parents that actually showed up for parent-teacher conferences and were involved in their children's education. I hear that mostly from teachers in the city of Buffalo, but I also hear it from the suburban districts as well. Not trying to pick on the city. Let's get back to the calls. Adrian Gummo is our guest. She's the lady who basically socked it to, respectfully, the Lancaster School Board about LGBTQ propaganda in the Lancaster schools, and her daughter being told an answer was false when scientifically it absolutely was 100% correct. I've often found it interesting during the pandemic we were supposed to follow the science, but when it comes to gender identity, we're supposed to put on our magical thinking hats and imagine leprechauns and unicorns. Let's go to next caller is Stan in Lancaster on line 4 on WBEN. Hello.
Hi, Tom. Thanks for taking my call. And just to let you know, I do know Adrian and her family. They are wonderful. I used to work with Adrian's husband. Now, to get to this, I know exactly what they're talking about. And my issue is this. The board doesn't listen to people. They believe that the voters are their only bosses, but in reality, the taxpayers are. So my solution is this. Stop paying your school taxes. Put it into an account. Wait for them to comply with what the taxpayers want. And then they can have their money.
Well, I'm not an attorney, but I can't endorse that because all that's going to happen is a lien is going to be placed on your home, and when you go to sell it, that's just one extra bit of aggravation you're going to need to clean up.
Right,
I understand the principle, but the practicality of it is not very practical.
And that's why you put it into account, because if it comes to that, then you can draw it out of the account, make good on your taxes, and move along. But
you'll need to pay a fine, late fees, etc. I mean, in theory, I understand where you're going with that.
Until you go to court and they settle for less than what you actually owe and all of that. But then you can pay an attorney
$5,000 as a retainer. Stan, thank you for the call. In addition to speaking out, what are some practical solutions that you have? And I'm going to have to get to that after the break here we have coming up. So stand by. Adrian Gummo. That has come up before in other programs we've done. And the practical part is the government has incredible power. Even local governments have incredible power. And if you do not pay your taxes, you are subjecting your property to a lien. And what happens if something happens to you and your kids get the house? Then they're going to have to pay the back taxes. They're going to have to pay the late fees, interest, and it might sound like a great thing to do, but my own personal opinion, and I'm not an attorney, is it might be penny-wise and pound-foolish, frankly. It is Bowerly on WBEN. Welcome to the program.
Good times. I'll take the bad times. I'll take you just the way you are.
It's Bowerly, WBEN, Arthur Pressman, traffic attorney. News time is 4:38, and we're talking about the Lancaster schools, but this is not limited to Lancaster, because many of you parents are of the belief that the LGBTQ, and they're going to start running out of letters, agenda is being rammed down the throats of grade school children who they've yet to discover deodorant and the need for deodorant. And we've got these educators who are talking to them about their gender journey, which is a new one on me. Just out of curiosity, Adrian Gummo, who spoke with the Lancaster Board of Education this week, did you ever feel, and if I'm being too personal, let me know, did you ever feel you were on a gender journey? Because I always knew I was a little boy, and there was a telltale clue that I was a little boy, and I don't need to get into basic biology to tell you what it is, but I was a little boy.
No, I've never had to be on a journey of any kind like that. My husband and I, we met when we were 5 years old in kindergarten, and, we married and had our four kids, and, there was never any confusion in our whole household, so.
Now, we had a caller before the news break who said, well, don't pay your school taxes, and that argument has come up before, but I don't think it's a prudent argument because all you're doing is opening yourself up to having a lien placed against your property and fines, late payment penalties, and then, God forbid, something happens to you, you're not expecting, like a heart attack, and you have willed your home to your children or child, then they're stuck cleaning up the mess. And as much as it might be a statement, it also, in the long run, I don't think is effective, nor is it financially advisable.
No, yes, I wouldn't go that far, but there are things that people can do to make change. This specific school board that we have really is known for pushing this agenda on the kids. They're perfectly fine with their teachers doing this. What I really advocate for, and last year I really took a huge part and a huge role in trying to elect two new like-minded board members, and we really got a lot of support, but we didn't quite make it onto the board. But what people can do is please vote at your school board elections and really learn about the candidates and learn just kind of their values and where they stand on things so that you know who is at the helm of your children's, education. We do have a school board of parents that really want to see change called Lancaster NY School Board for Change 2025. And we just really advocate for people making smart decisions about who you put in charge of your kids' education, because we really, it starts with the parents and the voters and voting. And if you don't like what you see in your kids' education and you don't see where it's headed or where it's going, if you don't go out to those polls and vote, nothing's going to change. So I think that's really the basis of, what we can do as a parent and as a taxpayer.
And I've talked to Frank Panasek with the 1791 Society on a number of occasions about this, but every single political race, even at the school board level, is total and complete blood sport. It really
Absolutely.
Is. It takes a lot of fortitude and a lot of self-confidence to inject yourself into the public debate. And for a lot of people, it just isn't worth it.
Right. Yes. No, I saw some very good friends kind of get raked through the mud. But they were doing it for our kids. And, they took a lot of heat and they got called a lot of names and received some threats. And it's really sad that that's what it has to come down to. I commend anybody who runs for a school board, and anybody who just goes and votes, thank you to anybody who does, because there's so many in such a large district like Lancaster, the minuscule amount of votes that come in on that voting night is just really saddening and disheartening. And so, I just really encourage everybody to go ahead and do that. And it really does matter. Your one vote really does matter.
Adrienne Gummo is a rock star right now on X, formerly known as Twitter, because she took the Lancaster School Board to task for pushing this LGBTQ agenda on children, in particular her daughter. Adrienne's daughter wrote that gender is what you are when you are born, male or female, and her teacher told her that that was an incorrect answer. And I find that to be absolutely preposterous. Let's get back to the calls on WBEN for Adrienne Gummo. Here is Michael in Williamsville on WBEN. Hello, Michael.
Thank you very much for taking my call. And I want to commend Adrienne for her actions and taking the time to write these letters and speak out on a very, very important subject. Personally, I've been out of school for a long time, and I'm stunned about the flexibility that these teachers have to talk to the students who are really there to learn certain subjects that they can go off on their own, taking away the precious time of the students to promote these other gender objects and reasons, etc., trying to indoctrinate them, and it's unbelievable. And I'm just as a side question: is New York State's flexibility in terms of what teachers can teach? Because we are in an international competition here. The Chinese, the Russians, etc., they have very strict teaching rules, promoting their agenda, etc., and STEM. We are in a competition, and our students are being taken, some of them are obviously being taken their attention away from these important subjects for their future use, and being time taken for these other things that some teachers want to talk about. Is our state unusual in having that kind of flexibility for teachers, or is that fairly common? Would you know?
Well, I can speak to the fact that if you go to the NYSED website, so that's New York State Education Department, there are mandated required standards that every subject has to teach. So in reading and math and health and gym class, there are required things you have to teach. But where this is all coming in is with this new suggested equity guidelines document, which is not required, but it does keep New York State teachers safe to teach these topics if they wish to. So they're foregoing, in my opinion, if they're spending class time on the suggested optional, you know, topic that they're spending time on, then what are they foregoing that is supposed to be being taught on Indeed. The required mandated documents? So,
Michael, thank you very much for your phone call on WBEN. You know, Adrienne, you are an educator, and people, I think, are aware that we are slipping in terms of educating our young people. As of December of 2023, I've got some staggering statistics for you. The United States ranks number 6 in reading, number 10 in science, and number 26 in math. You have countries that barely have plumbing and indoor water, and they're kicking the heck out of us with math, and we're teaching kids about LGBTQ. It seems like a total misappropriation of educational time and resources.
I agree. I really do. I know that, you know, just as an educator myself, you know, since COVID happened, we have seen just in general, and the statistics will show, just a huge decline in a lot of these academic areas, because kids did spend so much time just at home. A lot of kids did online learning. A lot of kids were not in the classroom. They were learning on Zoom. And, you know, unfortunately, there was no way around that. But just the statistics of how that has affected children really is quite staggering. So I feel that now it's more important than ever you know, in coming back from this post-COVID time, now we really need to get back to the academics. We need to get back to let's get back on track. We're no longer at home. We're no longer on Zoom. We're no longer on tablets and iPads at our house. It's time to let's, you know, make up for that lost time that so many kids, you know, so many of them lost so much. And so we really should be spending our time in the classroom teaching, you know, focusing on, and even in a class like this class, which is health class, focus on the biology.
And by the way, countries that beat the heck out of us in math include some East Asian countries most of us have probably never heard of. Singapore, Hong Kong, Macau, Japan, Taiwan, Korea, Singapore, Estonia, Japan, Korea, Ireland, all of these countries and a whole bunch more are kicking the heck out of us when it comes to mathematics, and we are spending time talking about gender identity and your gender identity journey. I want to ask, who is behind this? Because somebody once said, whenever you see a situation you don't understand, look to the financial interest. And I want to know who's behind this and what the game plan is. Adrian Gummo gave an amazing speech to the Lancaster Board of Education this week. Her daughter, in a test on LGBTQ issues, wrote that gender is what you are when you're born, male or female. And the teacher said that was an incorrect answer. And color me astonished at where we have gone. And people just tuning in who might want to take that out of context, I happen to have been an avid supporter of the homosexual community from 1983, and you can look at an interview I did with Alan Pergament in the old Buffalo Evening News in 1983 to back that up. I have a long history of supporting the homosexual community even before it was cool, and the bisexual community before it was cool. So put that in your pipe and smoke it. Of course, everybody's smoking pipes these days. We're talking with a woman who's become a rock star because many of us, including those of us who have been very supportive of homosexuals, bisexuals, etc., over the years, are not very happy with what we perceive and what I perceive as an indoctrination that is actively going on by the LGBTQ extremists into the minds of our children. Adrian Gummo spoke out about it in Lancaster this week. From where is this coming, Adrian? Whenever you see a situation you don't understand, look to the financial interest. Where is this coming from? Suddenly gender and gender identity and your gender journey has supplanted geometry.
I'm not sure. You know, you spoke about math even, and in Lancaster, it's in every subject. This isn't just health class. This is in math class. You know, this year, a couple weeks ago, there was an eighth grade assignment, and I think they're teaching statistics and probability, where they had to graph. And so they said, out of this many students in the class, what percentage were male? What percentage were female? What percentage were non-binary? And that was a math assignment, and it's literally just being injected into every single subject. And I don't know where it's coming from. I do know that our board is large advocates of this. This is one of their, you know, that they really do support this. But I do think it goes above that. I think it goes all the way to Albany. I really feel that I don't know if there's extra funding given from the state to schools that, you know, implement this curriculum. I really don't know. I would have to look into that further.
One of the arguments, Adrian, that I could see being made is we're doing this to prevent the bullying and the high suicide rate among LGBTQ children. Well, okay, if it's about bullying, why not turn it into a comprehensive class on bullying? How to spot it, what to do when you spot it, and, oh, yeah, people who are devout Muslims, Christians, or Jews, they shouldn't be bullied either. Nobody should be bullied. Why not make it all inclusive, since inclusivity is the word of the decade?
Absolutely. I mean, I think that, I mean, there are LGBTQ students in all schools, and I think there should be resources for those students. I think there should be counseling available, or, you know, classes that are optional that parents who really want their children to be educated in this should be able to sign their child up for. But I don't think that it should be mandated that every child is instructed with this in all areas of their day, whether it be math, English, reading, you know, health class, wherever they are. I don't think it should be like a mandated, you know, this is our curriculum right now. You know, just as at home, we teach our children, you know, although our family isn't this, you will be kind to everybody. And if I hear different, or if I get a phone call from a principal that you're bullying anybody or you're being unkind, you know, my children will be dealt with at home. And, you know, I just think a lot of this is coming down from families, you know, with giving their opinions to the school boards supporting some families and not others. And I don't know if there's extra funding from the state. I have heard that. I have heard, you know, that they get more money if they implement certain parts of the curriculum. I don't know if that's factual or not, so I really can't speak to that.
Well, certainly something to look into. And one of your biggest arguments when you were talking to the board the other night is that your complaints, they don't even respond. And you're the one paying the school taxes along with your colleagues in Lancaster. Adrian, I want you to hold on. We've got a bunch of people who want to speak with you. Are you good? I mean, I'm asking a lot of you today, but there are a lot of breaks.
That's fine. At some point, I may need to head home to charge my phone up as I'm sitting in a random parking lot right now. My house is a little noisy with four children, but so far I'm good.
I was going to make a joke about sitting in a random parking lot in light of what we've been talking about today, but I think I'll pass on the Ellicott Creek comment or the Como Parkway.
Oh, nope, not Ellicott Creek. Nope.
Okay, I just thought I'd stand by, if you would. Adrian Gummo on News Radio 930 WBEN. I didn't plan on doing this for as long as we've done it today. Your questions have been very, very interesting. And if you want to get in, you may call now if you'd like to at 803-0930, star 930 on the cell phone, and 1-800-616-WBEN. This is one of those topics you have asked me to do, and today just everything converged in the right direction, and we're able to pull it off for you, thanks to Adrian Gummo's generosity with her time after her stunning speech in Lancaster the other night. And maybe you're facing this in your district, too, where suddenly LGBTQ became more important than history or geometry. Probably learned more about their gender journey this week than they did about the anniversary of D-Day. And frankly, I think that's sad. We're talking about grade school here. And it's just, to me, it's insane. Welcome, loves. It is Bowerly on News Radio 930 WBEN. And David Bellavia, just a tremendous job from Normandy all this week. Not only taking part in the commemorations of the 80th anniversary of D-Day, but also spending a lot of time here on the radio and News Radio 930 WBEN. Coming up at 6 o'clock on our fine radio station, Tom Puckett has Buffalo's Evening News from 6 until 7. And be sure to download the Odyssey app. That way you can always listen to us no matter where you are. It's AUDACY, Odyssey. Just download that app, and you can actually do that by going to WBEN.com if you're so inclined. So one of the topics that has been requested by you of me is the idea that the LGBTQ propaganda is being shoved into the brains of our school children. And we're talking, lesbian, gay, bisexual, transsexual, and queer, if I got that right. They're going to start running out of letters, I'm afraid, at some point. Adrian Gummo is a teacher, and she's also a parent. And she took the Lancaster School Board to task earlier this week with a brilliant 5-minute speech, which I may replay again between 5:30 and 6 o'clock. She's been our very, very special guest, and basically she is a rock star right now. Her video, your X video, which I don't like the way that sounds, not directed at you anyway, your video on the platform, the social platform X, at this point, have you checked the latest number of views you've had?
I did just check, and it was up to 939,000.
That is amazing. And what that tells me is that you are speaking for an awful lot of people. And one of the things I love that you did before we get back to the phone calls is right at the very beginning, you made it real clear that you were aware of what your rights were as a speaker and that you did not want them to shut off your microphone. Why did you feel the need to lead off with that?
Well, because at past board meetings, when people would speak, whenever the board members would get uncomfortable with whatever was being said or whatever was being spoken, if they didn't want it being said, they would just turn off your microphone. And so I made it very clear that I was violating none of their rules, which they state at the beginning of their board meetings. They state that you're not allowed to talk about any specific faculty. You're not allowed to mention, you know, anything that they don't want to you to be talking about. And if you do, if you don't keep it very general, then they just shut off your microphone. And so I wanted them to know that I'm not violating any rules so that they have no authority to be silencing me.
Your telephone call for Adrian Gummo at 803-0930, star 930, 1-800-616-WBEN. Polly is in Niagara Falls, and you are on WBEN. Go right ahead.
Oh, hey. Oh, my. You did a great calm, right to the point testimony. I applaud that. I think, though, it is not just Lancaster. You are a representative of what's going on nationwide. Yeah. That I would start out with.
Thank you.
It's not just local area. It's going on nationwide. But in general, the bottom line, there is no place in schools to be indoctrinating and grooming children in this weird stuff. And what happened to sex ed, reproduction, biology?
Exactly, yes.
The mainstay. And then it morphed to sexuality, morals, stuff where parents would have the say, and then into gender ID, where they can actually pull children from homes because a teacher decided the child in second grade put them on hormone blockers. I mean, I don't think it's that common, but it's happening.
It's just really going on. I mean, that seems to me to be something that would be illegal in every state I can think of. Adrian, are you aware of anything like that taking place?
Well, when I was looking into this, you know, when I did speak with the teacher and she told me about this New York State guideline document that they're protected under, I did read the document thoroughly, and a part that really shocked me was it's actually in the table of contents of this document from Albany that there is an entire section on schools do not have to tell a parent. So if a child, and they gave examples, if a child goes to a trusted teacher or adult at school and says they want to transition or, you know, they want to begin this journey, the school can help them in their transition. The school can provide them with weekly counseling and things like that, and that the parents do not need to be notified unless permission is given from the child. And that really shocked me because these are developing children whose frontal lobes aren't even fully formed yet. And the New York State is getting the say as to what they do and do not have to let parents know, which I think is absolutely abhorrent. I think it's appalling and just downright terrifying.
Disgusting. Yes. Very New York State-ish. Polly, one more thought from you before we move on.
Yeah, I would say, I think, where is the line, follow the money, where it's parental rights versus school rights? And, yeah, it's dicey. Because I think it's top down. I heard about 7 years ago, you could opt your children out of sex ed, or not sex ed, not the reproduction sex ed, but the sexual morals and putting condoms on bananas, that kind of stuff. Versus gender ID. Gender ID, you cannot, because that's the rights of children. And that's where they can pull children and use CPS and mm-hmm. put them on hormone blockers. And
might be getting a little bit into the weeds here, Polly. Are you aware of the veracity or lack thereof? We can let Polly go there, Tanner, of what Polly is saying.
No, I'm really not. I haven't, had any situation or any experience in what she was referring to there. So I really can't speak to that.
Let's go to Lori in Batavia on WBEN with our amazing guest, Adrian Gummo.
Yes, Adrian, you are amazing. And thank you for speaking up. I just wanted to, applaud you on that as you can see, thousands of others are doing as well. I'm a retired PE teacher, and I have to work within the New York State standards with everything that was in my curriculum. The New York State standards for physical education came out in 2021. New York State standards for health education are 27 years old. I can only assume that this health educator in Lancaster is trying to create what they feel should be the current health education for their students, as opposed to what the practical application should be. They should be teaching skills-based health education. Yes. Shape America, the Society for Health and Physical Educators, recently pushed out, just March of 2024, national health standards. There are 8 standards. Not a single one of them has any comments or any references to this topic whatsoever. The standards are well written and very clear to read.
And Lori, your central theme as a retired PE teacher regarding this LGBTQ issue is...
So it exists in society, but it does not exist in our standards for our curriculum. So I understand that the New York State health standards are outdated, 100%. They need to be updated. 27 years ago, the health education that our students were receiving is a completely different world than where our students are in today. Shape America, as I said before, it's the Society for Health and Physical Educators of America, recently published new national health education standards, March of 2024. You're a health educator, which I have 2 health educators in my family, which I got a lot of this information from. You don't have access to the current health education standards within your state. You do have this as a resource, the National Health Education Standards from Shape America. The New York State Social Emotional Learning Benchmarks, Adrian, I think that's what you're referencing, that the teacher was saying these are guidelines. These are not standards.
Yep, they are not standards. And that was part of my speech, is that these are not standards. She referenced 2 of the guidelines under this new document dealing with sexual orientation developing across a person's lifetime, and sexual responsibility, including an understanding of one's sexuality. But those are not in the mandated standards. Those are just part of this new guideline document that New York State created. So she was not teaching to the standards.
Right. And this guideline came out November of 2022. It's when it was released. And it's really interesting because when you look at the standards, they always have like an outcome where by the, if you follow the standard, students will be able to, then you fill in the blank. And it's interesting how the benchmark, and because they have an outcome for the adults. And I thought it was interesting because the language that the adults are supposed to be using in this benchmark is really guided. And I find it was a big red flag for me. And I did talk to my members who were, they have this information, but their school districts that they teach in are not pushing this. They're not pushing the benchmark. They're like, you have a standard, you're working with a standard. So they are now with the new 2024 national health standards that they're focusing on, but they do skill-based health education, lifetime health, functional health, which is everything our students need.
Lori, I'm afraid I'm out of time here, and I want to thank you for the call and bringing that to our attention. Thank you so much. Adrian, I don't know if you want to address that specifically or if you would like to make a closing argument to the jury about for those parents who are concerned about, and again, this is not hate speech against anybody who is gay, lesbian, bi, trans, whatever. It's not hate speech. I firmly believe consenting adults can do whatever they want with other consenting adults. If you're in the lifestyle, you're a swinger, be a swinger. Enjoy yourself. Have fun. None of my business what you do. But we're talking about children here, and we're talking about the purpose of education in America. And to me, I just see no point for all of this LGBTQ stuff being jammed into schools when we're failing miserably, particularly in math and also in health.
Yeah. So, you know, in closing, I really just would like to say that, you know, parents, you are first and foremost in charge of your child's life. You are the one that instills in them their values. And if you see that power being taken away from you and other, you know, values and other ideas being put into their heads, whether it be through their education, their teachers, their friends, you really need to just step in and say, we're not okay with this. Something needs to be done. And if the people are not listening to you, don't stop. You just have to speak louder. And it's okay, you know, to have differing opinions. That's the one thing about being, you know, teaching your children to be a responsible adult is being able to have different values and different opinions, being kind to everybody, but being able to discuss these things and being able to say, you know, hey, you know, school board, I'm not okay with this, and having them reach out back to you and say, we're hearing you. We're hearing that this is happening. Even if it's, you know, your daughter will be excused from this assignment. She can do a different reading in the library or something like that. Just, you know, people in power need to listen to concerns. And when enough people are coming together and saying, this isn't right, you know, teach my kids, teach them academics, teach them reading, teach them math, but please leave, you know, the sex out of schools. It's just infiltrating everywhere. You know, teach them how to be safe, teach them health class. But, you know, at some point we have to draw a line and we have to step up for our kids.
You and I think, come from two different backgrounds and philosophical bases, but on this issue, I am 100% in agreement with you. Absolutely, positively. It's rational. It's sane. It makes sense. Adrian, you're a rock star. You are going to be very much talked about and talked to by media across the country. So get ready for the onslaught because it's going to be demanding, okay?
Well, thank you so much for listening and for having me on. I appreciate your support.
Thank you. Adrian Gummo on WBEN. And coming up after the news at 5:30, I want to replay the 5-minute speech she did, which I thought was a masterpiece of oration. Well, hello, loves. It is Bowerly on News Radio 930 WBEN. Great to be with you. Ooh, a little Abbey Road in the background there. Thank you so much, Tanner. Side 2, Abbey Road. It's just a little bit of this side of heaven. Just saying. Maybe the other side of heaven, actually. I want to thank everybody who has called in so far. Those who called in to speak with our guest, Adrian Gummo, who is on with us for a very long time. And there's a reason for that, just to backtrack a little bit. This whole LGBTQ thing has been a topic many of you have requested that I cover, and I was kind of waiting for the right opening. I was waiting for the right opportunity to do it as a topic. And seeing this on X, Libs of TikTok, I felt, wow, today is the day I really should do this topic, because obviously if this local woman has almost a million views, there clearly is an interest. And I always feel like I have to say this and hope you understand, but working at this radio station, sometimes you are held the people on the far left, the activists, automatically assume that you are some kind of a homophobic, biphobic, racist, and, you know, fill in all the other blanks you want to put in there. Oh, can't forget xenophobic. So I just think it's important doing this topic to make it real clear that it's not being approached from an angle of hate whatsoever. It is something, in fact, that I've talked with my friends who are homosexual men, lesbians, bisexual men and women, and even one transgender person. I told you not that long ago about a transgender person I met, spoke with this individual, and despite the hardships that that individual had been through on, well, I guess a genuine gender search, if you will, gender journey, if you prefer. And this individual was not real down with the advocacy, especially in the schools, especially among young people. So it's not as though every gay, bi, lesbian, or trans person in the world stands behind the LGBTQ agenda. You would be, I think you'd be very surprised at the number of people who listen to this show who fall into one of those categories, who are going to be voting for Donald Trump. They would identify themselves as conservative, Republican, or possibly libertarian. And it's the same thing with those who are in, quote-unquote, the lifestyle, the swingers. Most of those people are not left-wing. Most of them are right-wing. Most of them are libertarian, more so than anything else. And it just stands to reason that that's the lifestyle they choose to live, that they would be of a more libertarian bent. And you know, the issue, one of the issues with the Republican Party is that you've got this this bifurcation, if you will. You've got the, you know, the Bible thumping right wing conservative, abortion is the number one issue there is in the entire universe. And then you've got on the other side people who tend to be more libertarian. They may or may not be spiritual or religious. They just want as much freedom for the individual as possible. And at some point, if the Republicans are going to be a cohesive, relevant political party, that gap between those two has got to be bridged. And all too often, and I've seen this happen locally, you have people who tend to be on the right side of the fence, and you have these internecine struggles between the two factions, which isn't good for people who think in that direction, because it just proves to be very divisive and counterproductive. And I would welcome, you know, when one of the things I always tell people, like when somebody sent me an email the other day, I can't believe you did a show on birding. Your topics aren't what they used to be. What happened to the compelling radio? And my response was basically, birding is America's number one hobby. It has surpassed pickleball. And every line was jammed on that show. I had people sending me bird pictures. And just understand that there is no way that every day, 4 hours every day, that I can please everybody all the time with what I do as topics. I simply can't do it. It's an impossible thing. You know, I always like to joke that I could have Jesus Christ, Abraham Lincoln, and Lee Harvey Oswald in the same room for an interview, and I'd get email from people saying, wow, this topic sucks. I'm going to turn to the country station. It's just the nature of the beast that comes with the territory. But look, if you do have topic ideas that you think, you know, Tom, you should really be talking about this, by all means, send me an email, tom@wben.com, tom@wben.com, and if it makes sense, I will absolutely do it. First I'll consider it, then I'll do it if it makes sense. So I just want you to know that avenue is always there. Sometimes you really dig what I do. Sometimes some of you really dig what I do, and some of you think it sucks. And that, again, that's just the nature of the beast. I don't expect you to love me in our relationship every minute of every day. That would be unrealistic now, wouldn't it? But I want to replay why we spent so much time talking about this today. This is something that has gone viral. Libs of TikTok. Wow. Mother and teacher Adrienne Gummo blasted the Lancaster Central School District School Board in this epic speech. Her daughter was told to define gender on an assignment. Her daughter wrote that gender is what you are when you're born, male or female. And her teacher told her she was wrong. Schools cannot be allowed to force LGBTQ propaganda on our children. As Adrienne said, our children matter, and we won't be silent any longer. And they say brevity is the soul of wit. And in 5 minutes, Adrienne put together a masterpiece of oratory, which is absolutely spellbinding. And I'm going to shut up and let you listen to what Adrienne told the Lancaster School Board.
My topic is controversial curriculum being taught that is not part of the mandated New York State standards, as well as administrators failing to respond in any way to parent concerns regarding this. I'm following the guidelines you've set forth. I'm not using any faculty names or which buildings my concerns are with. Therefore, I'm asking that you keep my microphone on for the entirety of my time at this podium, as it is my right to be allowed to speak and also my responsibility as a parent to stand up for what my children's well-being and best interest when it comes to their education. In sending our children to public school, my husband and I are aware that there will be situations that our children will encounter that may not align with our Christian conservative family values. We teach our children to be kind to everyone, including those of other races, religions, and sexual orientations. We teach them our personal values at home, and we send them to school with the expectation that they will learn the academics from their teachers. I've never come to speak at a board meeting. I did not speak last year when my daughter was barked at by members of the GSA club when she politely said no thank you to purchasing a pride sticker. I did not speak this year when her teacher put up a Christmas tree in the classroom and adorned it with pride flags, which some might consider desecration of a religious symbol. But something did happen recently that prompted me to come here tonight. One of my children was given an assignment where she was told to define gender. She wrote that gender is what you are when you're born, male or female. She's told she was wrong. Her teacher instructed her to change her answer to, gender is whatever you want to identify as. This goes beyond what I will allow in my children's education. It is not only our family's belief that God created us as male or female, but it's also human biology and scientific fact. Of course, people can change what they choose to identify as later in life, but you are born as one of two genders, and telling a child that this is incorrect is erroneous and abhorrent behavior for an educator. One could even argue that this biased definition of gender violates the First Amendment of the U.S. Constitution regarding freedom of religion. In looking further into this, I discovered that this topic is being taught under an umbrella of a suggested New York State guideline, not a mandated requirement, which is why you'll find that this is confirmed as not being taught in neighboring districts such as Iroquois, Clarence, and Williamsville. The teacher was not in any way understanding of my concerns, and as of 7 p.m. tonight, I have not yet received a response from any of the principals that I emailed last week. Communication is highly lacking in this district, and this must be addressed with the administrators. I'm a public school teacher. I have students of diverse cultures and different family orientations. I pride myself in making each child feel valued, equal, and loved. I teach them academics according to the mandated New York State standards. I can stand here tonight and tell you that not one of my students knows my religion, where I stand on the political spectrum, or my views on current events. And that's because as an educator, it is my job to teach children, but it is not my job to instill my views and my beliefs on them or on their families. If I were to bring a menorah into my classroom and adorn it with the Christian flag or a thin blue line police flag, I would surely be told that it must be removed, and I'm fairly certain that disciplinary action would be taken against me. Why is the same standard not put in place for Lancaster teachers when they choose to desecrate a Christmas tree in their classrooms by adorning it with a controversial political symbol? When my eldest child entered elementary school here in Lancaster, I sent a letter to the principal because I had a concern. Because of that one letter, I was then permanently labeled in the school's computer system as an HMP. If you're not aware what that means, it stands for High Maintenance Parent. I know this to be true because the following year we had a great rapport with my daughter's teacher. She told me, "I was so nervous to have your child in my class because you were labeled as an HMP. But your family is amazing and so kind. If being involved in my children's education and protecting them when I see them being discriminated against for their beliefs and values makes me high maintenance, then so be it. I proudly will wear those letters HMP on my sleeve as I stand up for what I believe is right." In conclusion, my hope is that not only have you listened to my words tonight, but that you will consider them and their importance. And then maybe we can come to a mutual understanding that there are ways to celebrate pride and show acceptance for the LGBT community without ostracizing a large percentage of your student population that may have different personal and religious values than you do. As a member of the board, not only do you have the power to make these changes, but you have the responsibility to ensure that all students feel accepted and recognized at Lancaster. Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. once said, "Our lives begin to end the day we become silent about things that matter." Well, our children matter, and we will not be silent any longer. Thank you.
That masterpiece of oration, Adrian Gummo, our guest most of the afternoon here on News Radio 930 WBEN. Brilliant. I want to thank Adrian Gummo for joining us for so long today. That show kind of took on a life of its own. Thanks to Tim Wenger, by the way, for the suggestion. Much appreciated. And thanks, of course, to Tanner Saunders doing a magnificent job behind the glass. Tanner, how many Paula's Donuts did you wolf down today?
None, because I've been on a roll lately health-wise. I mean, I did have Wendy's for dinner last night, had two sandwiches, a Dave's Single and a spicy chicken sandwich, but I haven't drank soda in like 3 or 4 days. I've been cutting down on the sweets, so wow. None, but that probably will change after dinner.
Just a quick question. Is soda anything like pop?
Oh, dude, every time I always get guff from people up here about that. Like, when I say soda, like, you mean pop? Well, it's soda in Corning, so yes.
Well, if I don't talk to you over the weekend, I'll talk to you Monday.
Yes.
I'm sure I'll talk to you over the weekend. Well, I am off to visit my friends, the commercial airline pilot and the police dispatcher and maybe real estate folk. I don't know who's going to show, but it'll be fun. So you have yourself a great weekend, and be safe, and I'll look for you on Monday following David Bellavia from 10 to 2. I'll be on to destroy the station from 2 to 6 on News Radio 930 WBEN. Being jammed into schools when we're failing miserably, particularly in math and also in health.
Yeah, so, you know, in closing, I really just would like to say that you know, parents, you are first and foremost in charge of your child's life. You are the one that instills in them their values. And if you see that power being taken away from you and other, you know, values and other ideas being put into their heads, whether it be through their education, their teachers, their friends, you really need to just step in and say, "We're not okay with this. Something needs to be done." And if the people are not listening to you, don't stop. You just have to speak louder, and you it's okay, you know, to have differing opinions. That's the one thing about being, you know, teaching your children to be a responsible adult is being able to have different values and different opinions, being kind to everybody, but being able to discuss these things and being able to say, you know, hey, you know, school board, I'm not okay with this, and having them reach out back to you and say, we're hearing you. We're hearing that this is happening. Even if it's, you know, your daughter will be excused from this assignment. She can do a different reading in the library or something like that. Just, you know, people in power need to listen to concerns. And when enough people are coming together and saying, this isn't right, you know, teach my kids, teach them academics, teach them reading, teach them math, but please leave, you know, the sex out of schools. It's just infiltrating everywhere. You know, teach them how to be safe, teach them health class. But, you know, at some point we have to draw a line and we have to step up for our kids. Hey, so
you and I think, come from two different backgrounds and philosophical bases. But on this issue, I'm 100% in agreement with you. Absolutely, positively. It's rational. It's sane. It makes sense. Adrian, you're a rock star. You are going to be very much talked about and talked to by media across the country. So get ready for the onslaught, because it's going to be demanding, okay?
Well, thank you so much for listening and for having me on. I appreciate your support.
Thank you. Adrian Gummo on WBEN. And coming up after the news at 5:30, I want to replay the five-minute speech she did, which I thought was a masterpiece of oration. Well, hello, loves. It is Bowerly on News Radio 930 WBEN. Great to be with you. Ooh, a little Abbey Road in the background there. Thank you so much, Tanner. Side 2, Abbey Road. It's just a little bit of this side of heaven. Just saying. Maybe the other side of heaven, actually. I want to thank everybody who has called in so far. Those who called in to speak with our guest, Adrian Gummo, who was on with us for a very long time. And there's a reason for that. Just to backtrack a little bit, this whole LGBTQ thing has been a topic many of you have requested that I cover, and I was kind of waiting for the right opening. I was waiting for the right opportunity to do it as a topic. And seeing this on X, libs of TikTok, I felt, wow, today is the day I really should do this topic, because obviously if this local woman has almost a million views, there clearly is an interest. And I always feel like I have to say this and hope you understand, but working at this radio station, sometimes you are held the people on the far left, the activists, automatically assume that you are some kind of a homophobic, biphobic, racist, and, you know, fill in all the other blanks you want to put in there. Oh, can't forget xenophobic. So I just think it's important doing this topic to make it real clear that it's not being approached from an angle of hate whatsoever. It is something, in fact, that I've talked with my friends who are homosexual men, lesbians, bisexual men and women, and even one transgender person. I told you not that long ago about a transgender person I met, spoke with this individual, and despite the hardships that that individual had been through on, well, I guess a genuine gender search, if you will, gender journey, if you prefer. And this individual was not real down with the advocacy, especially in the schools, especially among young people. So it's not as though every gay, bi, lesbian, or trans person in the world stands behind the LGBTQ agenda. You would be, I think you'd be very surprised at the number of people who listen to this show who fall into one of those categories, who are going to be voting for Donald Trump. They would identify themselves as conservative, Republican or possibly libertarian. And it's the same thing with those who are in, quote unquote, the lifestyle, the swingers. Most of those people are not left wing. Most of them are right wing. Most of them are libertarian, more so than anything else. And it just stands to reason that that's the lifestyle they choose to live, that they would be of a more libertarian bent. And, you know, the issue, one of the issues with the Republican Party is that you've got this this bifurcation, if you will. You've got the, you know, the Bible thumping right wing conservative, abortion is the number one issue there is in the entire universe. And then you've got on the other side people who tend to be more libertarian. They may or may not be spiritual or religious. They just want as much freedom for the individual as possible. And at some point, if the Republicans are going to be a cohesive, relevant political party, that gap between those two has got to be bridged. And all too often, and I've seen this happen locally, you have people who tend to be on the right side of the fence, and you have these internecine struggles between the two factions, which isn't good for people who think in that direction, because it just proves to be very divisive and counterproductive. And I would welcome, you know, when one of the things I always tell people, like when somebody sent me an email the other day, I can't believe you did a show on birding. Your topics aren't what they used to be. What happened to the compelling radio? And my response was basically, birding is America's number one hobby. It has surpassed pickleball. And every line was jammed on that show. I had people sending me bird pictures. And just understand that there is no way that every day, 4 hours every day, that I can please everybody all the time with what I do as topics. I simply can't do it. It's an impossible thing. You know, I always like to joke that I could have Jesus Christ, Abraham Lincoln, and Lee Harvey Oswald in the same room for an interview, and I'd get email from people saying, wow, this topic sucks. I'm going to turn to the country station. It's just the nature of the beast. It comes with the territory. But look, if you do have topic ideas that you think, you know, Tom, you should really be talking about this, by all means, send me an email, tom@wben.com, tom@wben.com, and if it makes sense, I will absolutely do it. First I'll consider it, then I'll do it if it makes sense. So I just want you to know that that avenue is always there. Sometimes you really dig what I do. Sometimes some of you really dig what I do, and some of you think it sucks. And that, again, that's just the nature of the beast. I don't expect you to love me in our relationship every minute of every day. That would be unrealistic now, wouldn't it? But I want to replay why we spent so much time talking about this today. This is something that has gone viral. Libs of TikTok. Wow. Mother and teacher Adrienne Gummo blasted the Lancaster Central School District School Board in this epic speech. Her daughter was told to define gender on an assignment. Her daughter wrote that gender is what you are when you're born, male or female. And her teacher told her she was wrong. Schools cannot be allowed to force LGBTQ propaganda on our children. As Adrienne said, our children matter, and we won't be silent any longer. And they say brevity is the soul of wit. And in 5 minutes, Adrienne put together a masterpiece of oratory, which is absolutely spellbinding. And I'm going to shut up and let you listen to what Adrienne told the Lancaster School Board.
My topic is controversial curriculum being taught that is not part of the mandated New York State standards, as well as administrators failing to respond in any way to parent concerns regarding this. I'm following the guidelines you've set forth. I'm not using any faculty names or which buildings my concerns are with. Therefore, I'm asking that you keep my microphone on for the entirety of my time at this podium, as it is my right to be allowed to speak and also my responsibility as a parent to stand up for what my children's well-being and best interest when it comes to their education. In sending our children to public school, my husband and I are aware that there will be situations that our children will encounter that may not align with our Christian conservative family values. We teach our children to be kind to everyone, including those of other races, religions, and sexual orientations. We teach them our personal values at home, and we send them to school with the expectation that they will learn the academics from their teachers. I've never come to speak at a board meeting. I did not speak last year when my daughter was barked at by members of the GSA club when she politely said no thank you to purchasing a pride sticker. I did not speak this year when her teacher put up a Christmas tree in the classroom and adorned it with pride flags, which some might consider desecration of a religious symbol. But something did happen recently that prompted me to come here tonight. One of my children was given an assignment where she was told to define gender. She wrote that gender is what you are when you're born, male or female. She's told she was wrong. Her teacher instructed her to change her answer to, gender is whatever you want to identify as. This goes beyond what I will allow in my children's education. It is not only our family's belief that God created us as male or female, but it's also human biology and scientific fact. Of course, people can change what they choose to identify as later in life, but you are born as one of two genders, and telling a child that this is incorrect is erroneous and abhorrent behavior for an educator. One could even argue that this biased definition of gender violates the First Amendment of the U.S. Constitution regarding freedom of religion. In looking further into this, I discovered that this topic is being taught under an umbrella of a suggested New York State guideline, not a mandated requirement, which is why you'll find that this is confirmed as not being taught in neighboring districts such as Iroquois, Clarence, and Williamsville. The teacher was not in any way understanding of my concerns, and as of 7 p.m. tonight, I have not yet received a response from any of the principals that I emailed last week. Communication is highly lacking in this district, and this must be addressed with the administrators. I'm a public school teacher. I have students of diverse cultures and different family orientations. I pride myself in making each child feel valued, equal, and loved. I teach them academics according to the mandated New York State standards. I can stand here tonight and tell you that not one of my students knows my religion, where I stand on the political spectrum, or my views on current events. And that's because as an educator, it is my job to teach children, but it is not my job to instill my views and my beliefs on them or on their families. If I were to bring a menorah into my classroom and adorn it with the Christian flag, or a thin blue line police flag, I would surely be told that it must be removed, and I'm fairly certain that disciplinary action would be taken against me. Why is the same standard not put in place for Lancaster teachers when they choose to desecrate a Christmas tree in their classrooms by adorning it with a controversial political symbol? When my eldest child entered elementary school here in Lancaster, I sent a letter to the principal because I had a concern. Because of that one letter, I was then permanently labeled in the school's computer system as an HMP. If you're not aware what that means, it stands for High Maintenance Parent. I know this to be true because the following year we had a great rapport with my daughter's teacher. She told me, I was so nervous to have your child in my class because you were labeled as an HMP. But your family is amazing and so kind. If being involved in my children's education and protecting them when I see them being discriminated against for their beliefs and values makes me high maintenance, then so be it. I proudly will wear those letters HMP on my sleeve as I stand up for what I believe is right. In conclusion, my hope is that not only have you listened to my words tonight, but that you will consider them and their importance. And then maybe we can come to a mutual understanding that there are ways to celebrate pride and show acceptance for the LGBT community without ostracizing a large percentage of your student population that may have different personal and religious values than you do. As a member of the board, not only do you have the power to make these changes, but you have the responsibility to ensure that all students feel accepted and recognized at Lancaster. Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. once said, "Our lives begin to end the day we become silent about things that matter." Well, our children matter, and we will not be silent any longer. Thank you.
That masterpiece of oration, Adrian Gummo, our guest most of the afternoon here on News Radio 930 WBEN. Brilliant. I want to thank Adrian Gummo for joining us for so long today. That show kind of took on a life of its own. Thanks to Tim Wenger, by the way, for the suggestion. Much appreciated. And thanks, of course, to Tanner Saunders doing a magnificent job behind the glass. Tanner, how many Paula's Donuts did you wolf down today?
None, because I've been on a roll lately health-wise. I mean, I did have Wendy's for dinner last night, had two sandwiches, a Dave Single and a spicy chicken sandwich, but I haven't drank soda in like 3 or 4 days. I've been cutting down on the sweets, so none, but that probably will change after dinner.
Just a quick question. Is soda anything like pop?
Oh, dude, every time I always get guff from people up here about that. Like when I say soda, like, you mean pop? Well, it's soda in Corning, so yes.
Well, if I don't talk to you over the weekend, I'll talk to you Monday.
Yes.
I'm sure I'll talk to you over the weekend. Well, I am off to visit my friends, the commercial airline pilot and the police dispatcher and maybe real estate folk. I don't know who's going to show, but it'll be fun. So you have yourself a great weekend, and be safe, and I'll look for you on Monday following David Bellavia from 10 to 2. I'll be on to destroy the station from 2 to 6 on News Radio 930 WBEN.